Matthew chapter number 24. Matthew chapter number 24. I'll read one verse of scripture, and then I'll let you be seated. After that, we'll go back up to verse number 3. But I want to read verse number 12 to you first. Which proves is to send me. Of course, they had the funeral or the memorial service yesterday for Sister Burgess. I was able to be there for the graveside service on Wednesday. Would you please keep Brother Burgess in your prayers? That God would continue to strengthen and comfort him in his loss. So it's certainly not an easy thing to do. And of course, Sister Luciana and all the family, the kids. For every single one of them, sincerely. Amen. So pray for them that God would continue to comfort them. Jesus, help my voice. Verse number 12 said, "And because iniquity shall abound." Because iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. The love of many shall wax cold. And so I want to title the message this morning with a question. And that question is, has our love waxed cold? Has our love waxed cold? God bless you. You can be seated in Jesus' name. If you'll take your attention upward.
At verse number 3.
Take your attention there to verse number 3. We'll begin reading there. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" What is it going to be like? When is it going to happen? Give us some understanding. Give us some insight of the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." First thing out of the box, he said, "I want you to make sure that you are not deceived. For many," the reason why is because there are going to be many that will come in my name, and they will say, "I am Christ," and shall deceive many. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." I'll stop there for a moment with no political agenda, by no means, but again, we are hearing wars and rumors of wars. We are right smack dab in the heat, and many are calling this the War of Wars, and some are even tagging it as World War III. Some people are saying this is the beginning of Armageddon, annihilation, all kinds of different things. And I think we ought to set up and take heed and listen. The problem with so many of us is that we've already been through and seen and read history, and we've already had wars and rumors of wars, and we've been through it, so it's not a real big deal. So we've really taken it nonchalantly of what is happening even today. But the scripture said, "See that ye be not troubled." That word troubled is don't be frightened. Don't be overwhelmed by the wars and the rumors of wars. Don't be troubled by this. As a believer, as a Christian, as one living for God, we are not to be frightened by these things. And some of you say, "Well, I am concerned." I had somebody just even yesterday say, "Well, I'm concerned they're going to Disneyland and they're going to go to Six Flags and they're going to have a family vacation. And one of their biggest concerns is if something happens while they're away." And down there, away from home.
So it is something that is on people's minds. It is a thought that is there, even if it is hidden, and maybe you may even talk about it just in private. But Jesus said, see that you be not frightened. Right. Don't be troubled.
Amen. Right.
Don't be troubled. For all these things must come to pass. They got to come to an end. They got to come to some type of fulfillment. The Greek word is fulfillment. They have to be fulfilled. There are certain things that have to be fulfilled in the Word of God in order for Him to come back.
Right, amen.
Amen. And then He said, but the end is not yet. It's not quite finished. For nation shall rise against nation. Do we see that?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Kingdom against kingdom?
Yeah.
Yes. And there shall be famines. Do we see that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. We see famines all over the world. Pestilence and earthquakes. I've got a little app that every once in a while I tag in with, and it's an earthquake app. And it's astounding to look at the daily earthquakes across the world. If you've ever done it before, and you have, or maybe you haven't done it before, take a little bit of time. Take a little bit of time and look at the multitude of earthquakes. There's so many of them that you can't even keep track of them all. They don't even talk about ones unless they're like a 7 or a 6.5 and above. They may have a little blurb of a 6, but anything below that that's not that big a deal, they just ain't making a big deal because there's so many of them. And so we're lulled to sleep by the fact that there are earthquakes all over our globe, continually going on everywhere. It said in diverse places, multiple places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. This word to be afflicted is burdened or persecuted, troubled or even pressured. We see that already. We see that already. We see persecution. We see this burdening, this pressuring. We can even, when you look at that word pressure in the original Greek, it's even, there's peer pressure on us every single day. Well, why do you live like that? How come you do this? And how come you go to church that much? Isn't that a little bit excessive? Isn't that unnecessary? Oh, come on. Just relax. No, if there's ever been a time that we need to be vigilant.
Right.
If there's ever been a time that we need to be awake in our spirits, it's today.
Yeah.
Because there's pressure on every side for us just to relax and take your ease. Just like the man did that said, man, I've got everything. I've got it all made. Everything's fine. And then when it was time for him to come to judgment day.
Right.
It was a mess.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And he said, and shall kill you. And that literally is to put you to death. And we've already seen that. There have been people that have been put to death because of the truth of God's word. Maybe not here in America, but we have seen it all over the world.
Right.
Yep.
And it's coming to America. And it's coming soon. I don't know if you remember just a couple years ago, that young man that went in that college up in the Oregon area, and he was asking people if they believed in Jesus. It wasn't whether they had Muslim faith. Remember that?
Yeah.
A young man went there with a gun in the college, and he asked if they believed in Jesus. If they said yes, he shot him. I know we hear a lot about the Islam and say, well, do you know, are you a Muslim, and blah, 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 and they're shooting everybody else that's not a Muslim, but it's even happening in that realm. So it's no strange thing, and that's 2 years ago that happened. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my namesake. There's something about the name of Jesus.
Right.
There's something, and I'm not going to go there too much today, but there's a lot to be said about that. And then shall many be offended. My God, have mercy. Oh, my God, have mercy. Are we living in a world of offense or what? Everything has to be politically correct. You can't hardly say anything anymore without being offensive in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
I'll tell you, the Word of God is going to become increasingly censored. The pulpit will become increasingly censored. It is on the books right now to take away nonprofit status from all churches if you preach against homosexuality in any way, shape, or form. They are censoring the ability for the pulpit to preach the truth of God's word. Do I hate homosexuals? I'll be very clear. I'll be very blunt. I absolutely do not hate them at all. I love them, and I want to see them saved as much as I want to see the drug addict saved, the alcoholic saved, the murderer saved, the liar saved, the cheater saved. I want to see them saved as well as anybody else. They need Jesus as much as anybody else does. Hear from this pulpit a speech of hate against anybody.
Right.
I'm not going to make fun of any of them. They're all souls. And Jesus went to Calvary to save every one of them. I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. Many are going to be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Something that's gripped my heart here recently. I've been reading in Proverbs and going through the book of Proverbs, and there's just no there's no gray area between love and hate. Did you realize that?
Right.
Well, I just don't like them. No, there's no such thing. I just don't care for them. I just don't. No, there isn't any of that. You either love them or you hate them. And so I had to start examining those that I don't like. I said, my Lord, have mercy. I'm in trouble by the word of God for just trying to think of a way to slip by and get away from that person by not caring for them and not liking them. The Bible said, I hate them. Oh yeah, let's just cut all the garbage out right now and quit acting all pious and all goody two-shoes and act like we're some righteous bunch of people. There's not every single one under the sound of my voice here today has somebody that you can say, well, I don't hate them, but I just don't like them. I'm telling you, you're lying to yourself. You're deceiving yourself by saying, well, I just don't like them. No, you can't. No, it don't work like that. The Bible said you either love them or you hate them. I know this world wants to paint all kinds of different colors of gray in between the black and white. But I'm telling you, it's black and it's white. It's either right or it's wrong. You either love or you hate.
Right.
And I present to you today the question, has our love waxed cold? How many times have you found yourself offended? How many times have you found yourself betraying someone else? Betraying their trust? Verse 11 said, many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That love means affection, benevolence, charity. But if he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Hey, let me tell somebody today, you can make it.
Amen.
You say, well, Pastor, you're just painting this gloomy, despicable scenario in front of us. But the Bible said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. That means somebody's going to be saved in the end, because somebody's going to endure. They're going to endure hardness as a good soldier. They're going to see when they're offended, they're going to get it right. They're going to see when they betrayed somebody, then they're going to get it right. They see that when they hate somebody, they're going to fix it and start to love them. Oh yeah. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
And verse 14 said, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Different situation, and I'm going to just tag in with something here real quick. The situation is that this lady, in a very difficult time of her life, happened to run across and was looking and searching for real, what she called at that time, real religion, something that was real. And she got connected through somebody else, who eventually was connected to my pastor and my pastor's wife. And she came to LeGrand here this year, and she got full of the Holy Ghost. God baptized her miraculously with the Holy Ghost, and she got baptized in Jesus' name, and so on and so forth. And she lived there for a little while, and she said, "I feel like I need to go back to my native home of Winnemucca." And so she went back home to Winnemucca, and she began to go to every single church. And she was looking for a church. And I quote, "I'm looking for a church that has a prayer room." I'm looking for a church that has a prayer room. I'm looking for a church that has prayer before church. I'm looking for a church that has prayer as a service, as a time of the week. I want to be in the presence of God. I want to be in a prayer room. And she, as she is on her quest looking for a church, I didn't mention this to many of you, but none of you, I don't believe, but I mentioned it to my wife. I remember correctly, it's only my wife that knows, but several months ago, I had a dream, and it was very out there. And I kind of woke up, and I chuckled, because I thought, there ain't no way. That's just a lot of work. But my dream, and I told my wife that morning, I told her the dream was, and I told her the schedule that I was having to hold in my dream. That I actually had a church, and we were doing a church in Fernley, in Winnemucca, and in Elko.
Amen.
And I was preaching at every single one of those preaching points throughout the week, with lots of driving, and lots of time and effort and energy and expense in those works, trying to make everything go. And I remember being very tired physically, but I remember being so excited about what God was doing and how He was saving people in each one of those cities.
Amen.
Why it was those three, I don't know. I can't tell you. Just the time, it's the period, it's whatever it is. So I don't understand all the ways of God, okay? I told myself a long time ago that I would not reach out to any other community other than the one that God put me in until I felt like it was time for this church that they didn't need as much attention. That I could go on and do something else. Do I feel like that's where we're at today? No. But I feel like God said, you know, if they're not going to get it, you can go somewhere else and give it to somebody else. Am I leaving here? No. That's not what I'm saying. But there are hungry people beyond this city that need to be saved. He said this gospel needs to be preached unto all nations. And sometimes we can get so excited about foreign missions, about what's going on in the Philippines, and what's going on in China, and what's going on in Taiwan, and what's going on here and there and everywhere. But in Winnemucca, we got 10,000 people that don't have a shepherd. I talked to this lady yesterday, and she said to me, she said, "You don't have," she asked me the question, she said, "Do you have a church or an affiliation or anything here? Anything here? Because I've searched high and low and I can't find anything." And I said, "I'm sorry, Gracie, we don't have anything there. But we will, because you're there." And she begins to cry on the phone while my wife is there in the truck with me, as we called her on our way back from California yesterday. She begins to cry and she says, "Oh, bless you. Oh, bless you." Little did I realize that she told Sister Parker that I packed up all of my belongings in my car. And I was ready to head out of town and go back to LeGrand because there wasn't a church here. I got into my car and got ready to start the car. And I felt like God told me, "Don't you go anywhere. You need to stay here." I've got people to save here. She got out of her car. She unpacked her things. She called Sister Parker, said, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand it, but I know God spoke to me and said, stay put. And Sister Parker texted me. And she said, I don't know if you know of anybody that would be willing to go to Winnemucca and teach her a Bible study at least twice a month. But I thought I'd reach out and ask you if there's somebody that would be willing. I immediately texted her and I said, I'll go. Not counting the cost, not thinking of any difficulty, not even worried until later about it being wintertime, not worried about how many miles it's going to put on my truck, not worried about... Just immediately, I'll go. And then I started calculating. It's a good thing I didn't calculate before I said I'll go.
Right.
But that's the problem with many of us. Our love has waxed cold. Right. And we do the calculation.
Jesus.
We do the calculation of how much this is going to cost me in order to see this one saved. What? How many meals am I going to have to feed them? How much gas am I going to have to burn up to go pick them up for Sunday school? How much time and energy and effort? How many times will I have to spend on the phone? How many meals will I have to fast? How many prayer meetings will I have to have? How much effort and energy will I have to put in that? Is it worth it? So we count the cost, and many of us, our love is waxed cold. Many of us, our love is waxed cold. You say, Pastor, this ain't evangelistic. No, I'm going to try to go way, way deeper than your surface today. I'm not interested in your surface today. I want to get down on the depths of your heart. I want to stir something on the inside of some of us today, because there are a people that needs to be reached. I said this in such a flippant way. I never really thought about it, but I made this statement. I think back when I made this statement. I was full of the Holy Ghost when I said, "Look out, Northern Nevada! Here comes Souls Harbor."
Right. Right. Right.
Oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost. And little did I know, little did I give it much thought, little did I give it much time in my mind, but I spoke those words, and it's been rolling through my head as I had the dream, as this is coming to pass, and this is happening. And let me tell you, I don't know how much we're going to have involvement, but I know we're going to have some involvement. Brother Emmons and Sister Emmons are opening a church in January in Fernley. He's looking for a building right now. They just bought a house. And he's looking for a place to have church in Fernley. And he said, Brother Newman, I need your help. I need your fellowship. Will you please help me? Will you help me build that church? I said, yes, sir, I will. As a matter of fact, I already got a family that's there right now that they would love to come to church.
Hallelujah.
They're ready to come. I'm going to tell you, this thing is bigger than us.
Right.
It's bigger than right here in Sparks.
Yes.
It's bigger than this valley of Reno and Sparks and Sun Valley and Palm Springs. It's bigger than what you think it is. But something's got to burn down on the inside of us. Something's got to get a hold of our hearts and our spirits to get beyond ourselves. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. And let me tell you, he didn't just give once, but he's continuing to give today. And he's still giving. And he's even giving right now in this house. He's putting something on the inside of some of you. He gave so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I looked it up, and Winnemucca has about 10,000. This is a 2010 census. So 7 years ago, it's obviously changed, but I couldn't find a newer census than this, unfortunately. But Winnemucca has 10,000 people. Elko has 19,000 people. Lovelock has 2,500 people. Fernley has over 19,000 people currently, or of 2010. We know it's already way beyond that. Fallon has over 9,000 people. I'm telling you, as God smote my heart as I begin to look at those figures, and I can see the Lord when He said He was moved with compassion when He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. He was looking for somebody. He was looking for somebody that would have compassion. He wasn't looking for somebody that was a great orator skills. He wasn't looking for somebody of perfection. He wasn't looking for somebody that had everything together, that had all the ducks in a row. No, he was looking for somebody who had some compassion. He was looking for somebody. Is there anybody that will love these sheep? Is there anybody that will love these people? Well, I don't have this together, and I don't have that together, so on and so forth. And I'm still saying I don't have all this together and all that together. But God's not looking to use somebody that's got it all together and that's perfect. He's just looking for a willing vessel. I said He's looking for a willing vessel. He's looking for somebody that will love like He loves. Hallelujah. Verse 17 said, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world." Came not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I want to be very, very, very clear this morning. It's not time to condemn. I will be very clear. It's not time to condemn. It's not time to judge. Judgment day is coming, but it's not yet. That day of condemnation is coming, but it's not yet. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of grace and of mercy and of love. That we must proclaim His grace and His mercy. May you and I never forget that our actions are speaking louder than our words. You can say amen today. You can shout praise the Lord today. But your actions will speak volumes. Your actions towards somebody else is going to speak a whole lot more than what you could ever say. Because you're in your comfort zone here. And you can go ahead and shout right here. But what are you going to do on Monday? On Thursday. I don't want to just hear somebody say, "Oh yeah, amen, that's right, Pastor." No, I want you to do something. I want you to do something. I'm preaching about our love that is wax cold, and I'm lighting a fire under our love here today. I want to light a fire of passion, of love for the sinner, of love for the lost, of love for your city, of love for your community, of love for the people that you work with. I don't know how that day is going to work out. I know it's coming. But I just wonder when that day gets here, if moments like this, if times of what I'm preaching here right now, that God's going to say, "I sent a preacher your way. I sent a preacher your way to ignite a fire inside you to go out and reach the lost, and you did not." I don't know know what it's going to be like in Judgment Day. I had a city, I had a preacher present a need, and nobody went. Nobody went. Nobody loved enough. Nobody cared enough. I put you in that place of employment that you would be a witness unto me. I gave you a good job with making good money. I did these things for you, and you mentioned not my name. You never told one person about my grace. You never told one person about my love. Oh God, forgive us. Oh God, forgive us. We're so worried about losing our job. I can't talk about Jesus on my job because it's against policy. My God, what are you going to say at Judgment Day? Are you going to be able to stand alone? My God, you don't understand. I would have lost my job if I would have witnessed and told somebody about you. What are you going to say then? Well, now I lost my soul. Because the very first thing that he called us to do was to be a witness, to tell everybody about his grace, to tell everybody about his mercy, to tell everybody about his love. It was the first calling. It is the first calling before, God, and God only knows how bad. Sometimes I don't even want to preach. I'd rather just teach a Bible study one-on-one than ever get behind a pulpit and preach. But that's what God's called me to do, so that's what I'm going to do. By the way, for some of you, would you pray for me and my wife tomorrow? We're going to Winnemucca. We're having our first Bible study at 1 o'clock. It's nothing good in me, but I'm going to tell you, I've got a fire burning inside of me, and I beg God to have mercy on me. I beg God to forgive me. Even this morning I sat right there and I cried and I wept and I asked God to forgive me for not loving like I need to love. So don't think for 1 minute that this is a message of condemnation. This may be a message of conviction, but it's not of condemnation. You've got to understand the difference. You may be feeling conviction in your heart and in your spirit. And so I'm preaching to you a message of conviction. Some may take the truth as speaking in judgment, and this is where it gets all convoluted and messed up. And like many did in Jesus' day, there were a bunch that did that in Jesus' day. They were called Pharisees.